Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson, and you're with UrbanBuzzMag.com, and I have Raina White on the line with me, and she's going to be doing a tribute to guess who? I'm going to let her tell you. I know you thought I was going to tell you, but I'm going to let her tell you. She's a Broadway actress, amazing vocalist, and you know how I feel about that, y'all. Y'all know I love people who know how to sing, for real, for real. So, Raina, talk to the people. Tell them a little bit about yourself and the project you're going to headline on August 9th.
Well, first, thank you so much, Nigeria, for having me on Urban Buzz magazine. And I'm doing Whitney Houston.
Yes.
The voice, the icon, yes. The legend, the Whitney Houston. August 9th, and that's her birthday. So it's Saturday, August 9th in New York City at Joe's Pub, which is part of the Public Theater. And I'm doing two shows, 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. And it's a passion project. I self-produced it. And yes, a love letter to the icon.
I love that. I love everything about what you're doing. And more importantly, I love that you have the voice to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's a true story. To take not true story. To take time to do this project, I know a few of her family members, so, you know, thank you. But I love when you can appreciate the art and the legacy and the gift of someone that you're compelled to give honor to despite everything. You said it was a passion project. How did you come about even wanting to do this and then to self-produce it? Girl, go ahead with yourself.
Listen, you know, it's not a singer alive who can't say that they aren't touched and inspired by Whitney Houston.
Right.
And she has always been my number one. I mean, throughout childhood, throughout my school age years, and throughout my adulthood, I'm still listening to her music and right. thinking like, oh, that's what she meant. You know, as you go through the years, you know, and the decades, and now as a professional singer, just her prowess, her skill set, like her agility,
right?
It's legendary. And not just that, as a professional actress doing Broadway, and I have children myself, now I also understand, even if it's just a little bit, because it's not like I was really in her shoes, but right. I can understand maybe some of the sacrifices that she has to make to be Whitney Houston. And I think that that's also not talked about much, that
right.
the sacrifices that she had to make to be who she was.
Right.
And so that is a huge part of why I'm doing it. I avoided doing anything really Whitney related for many years because nobody wants to be compared to Whitney Houston, right?
Right.
You know, but like some people don't even like touching her
right.
canon because it's perfect. But then I realized it's not about that. It's not about trying to, you know, do the futile task of trying to out-sing the voice. It's about coming to her material with your own experiences and who you are. And that's what she did with her music.
Right.
And so this is paying homage. This is giving her flowers. And it's on her birthday.
Yeah.
So it's called
yeah.
Dear Whitney.
And
it's a love letter to her.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And I totally understand what you're saying because, you know, people like Luther, Whitney, Gladys, all the greats, Dionne Warwick, could take songs that
mm-hmm.
other people did and just make them their own. And so I'm sure that's the pearlest of you doing what you're doing. But I love it. Yeah, you're not trying to be Whitney or sound like Whitney. You're just paying homage. And that's honorable all in itself. And again, I got to keep saying self-produced because I don't know when we're going to understand how people don't really support some of the quality things we do. Now,
thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's real. You know, everybody keep playing around, right? This is why it says we're key players speak because I'm a talk by talk, right? Everybody plays around like, you know, we got these great budgets. You know, when you're independent, there's no great budgets unless you're getting sponsored. And then, you know, Trump done got rid of DEI. But before DEI, we still wasn't getting the funding that we needed to have to do the great work that God has given us to do. But the blessing is that we still get to do it. And so
Exactly, because at the end of the day, you know,
Go ahead.
At the end of the day, if it has to be grassroots, it has to be grassroots, and if it has to start from the bottom up, it starts from the bottom up, because you know it's time out for us waiting for seats at the table.
Come on.
This is about me making my own table,
chair, right?
And table, saying, right. "Hey, I'd love for you to pull up to the table," and I am open to sponsorship. I would love the support. But I also wanted to make sure that I have skin in the game and that I was able to save and support this endeavor and to hire other, black and brown people during this process. So it's been a great process. It's tedious self-producing, but it's kind of awesome too, because you're putting in the work for yourself and not anyone else's project. It's for you. So you're working around the clock. You know, there's no like end time to what time you get off work, but when it's for you, you'll make that sacrifice, you know?
Yeah, true story. And speaking of producing, you write and produce some of your songs?
Yeah. So my background is Broadway and theater. And in the last couple years, I've pivoted into music. And so I'm at the beginning of that journey of being a new songwriter and writing and really honing my point of view as a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's like right now I am finishing up my first single, finishing up recording that. And I wrote it. I co-produced it. I have a wonderful producer that I'm working with. And, yeah, I'm working on an EP. But, yeah, I think writing is a journey. You know, you don't just arrive to it. Oh, I'm a great writer.
We're never great. So I promise everybody, always room. There's always room to grow, be teachable, and
always
learn.
Room to grow.
Yeah. So kudos on the new journey of, you know, your new project. Can you give us a name or not yet?
This is the second interview, just remember my name.
That's right. And this is why we say once a key player, always a key player, because definitely when you release it, please come back, let me get on you of why you didn't tell it to me today. But the Broadway journey, you know, I love your tenacity, because as an African American woman, and so am I, and you know, we in this business, it is a push. You know, you got to pray. You got to fast. You got to read your Bible. You got to really trust God on this journey. And I am living proof that He does answer prayer. Starting on Broadway and being an actress in an industry that, and when you say Broadway, it's either an all white cast or a black play. So, you know, I think now it's starting to be, if you say Broadway, it's all inclusive. I hope that we've gotten to that point. But what is the...
We're getting there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, because you are in it. What is the work ethic of being on Broadway?
Because,
I don't think people understand. Like, that's a beast. But go ahead.
Well, the work ethic of being on Broadway actually starts before Broadway, if I'm being honest with you.
Right.
I majored in theater and acting at the University of Michigan Michigan, and I learned there the discipline. I also was in a youth group in Detroit. I'm from Detroit.
Okay.
What up, though, to my Detroit listeners? There was a youth theater troupe called Mosaic Youth Theater of Detroit. Is still thriving, and it really gave me the foundation of being an artist, and it taught us discipline in the ninth and tenth grade. And so you went into it knowing like, oh, this is gonna take some hard work from me.
Right.
So once I graduated from college, I started on the regional circuit, and that's just doing plays and musicals around the United States and whatever state and city has a theater, really.
Right.
And so we call that regional productions, regional theaters. And so I kind of got my sunk my teeth in that way and kind of sharpened that tenacity and that discipline just by, you know, being in shows and trial and error and figuring out how to keep my voice from getting hoarse, how to keep from getting injured, you know, doing 8 shows a week. So by the time I made it to Broadway, the discipline, the work ethic was there. But then Broadway is like, oh my God, it's like the Olympics.
Okay.
And it's 8 shows a week, and that could be in perpetuity. So your show could run for 6 months, or it could run for 6 years. Ooh. Or it could run for 16 years.
Right.
And so you only get 1 day off a week, and that's generally Mondays.
Wow.
And so it can be a sacrifice. I have children.
Right.
And so you don't really get to see your family a lot. You don't really get to see them on holidays, because a lot of times you have a show either on the holiday or the day after.
Right.
So it's a sacrifice. Not only that, like, you have to condition your body for Broadway. So not that you need to, you know, have a six pack to do that, but you just have to have a degree of stamina and strength to be able to dance and sing and act 8 times a week for 2.5 hours every day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so that's the most challenging part. You really feel like an athlete. You know, you're up, you're warming up your voice, you're warming up your body, you're stretching, and you're doing it because you're better. Because if you get injured and you're out the show, you know, you lose money.
Right. I was waiting for you to just go on saying you can go broke, because, you know. Yeah.
But also, you just want to be you want to be as safe as you can, just to make sure that you're not injured. So yeah, it's a lot that goes into it.
Well, that's excellent, because you know, when you put out your music, then touring is going to take the same kind of degree of discipline and stamina as well. You hear about artists doing an 50 city tours, and then their voice is gone, or they fell off the stage, or, you know, they're just exhausted. You know,
that's a great point. Yeah. I think the Broadway journey has really prepared me for whatever touring that I hope to do,
you
know,
do
for
it.
My own music, because I know what it feels like to be in the trenches and to be in it daily. So, yeah.
And you talked about family. How good is it to have the family support, your mom, your husband, your kids? How much easier? I mean, I know probably maybe initially it was some strain, or your mother talking about, girl, what you getting ready to do? You know, or your husband talking about, when you coming home, and them kids like, I'm hungry. Talk a little bit about that and their love and support that definitely is needed to definitely catapult you to your next level.
Yeah, I think in general, any support from friends and family will always, you know, propel you to continue going. And this industry, well, specifically Broadway, and I'm sure the music industry, it's mostly rejection. It's really like a masterclass at how do you handle rejection for multiple years.
Wow.
Because that's just really what it is for so long. And can you withstand it mentally, and how long can you withstand it, and what to do with that? And so I think a lot of the time the support is really to counteract the no's, you know. And we got to the point where sometimes my family, they'd be so disappointed I didn't get something. I was already disappointed, then I was disappointed that they were disappointed. And so I had to kind of decide, you know what, until the ink dries, I'm just not even gonna say anything, because I just don't want to, you know, make other people feel the pressure that's on me. But my husband is so supportive, and he's been great. He loves the arts. He's not even an artist, but he loves the arts. He believes in me. My family has always believed in me. They know I'm stubborn, and it's kind of good to be stubborn when you're you know, an artist, because you won't give up. It's like you just can't do it, you know. You try to, but you just can't. You're like, I gotta do it again. I gotta try it again. And so it kind of helps to be a little bit stubborn. These days they say delusional. So whatever it is, delusion, stubbornness.
No, we'll stay with stubborn. You know, you don't know until you're in it. You know, like, we're celebrating 25 years. And so it's like people just are amazed. They're always like, Nigel, you still doing the Urban Buzz magazine? I'm like,
you still,
not
I've
only,
heard that a lot. You still doing that?
Right, right. Don't they do it? Like, you said, but this is what I do. Mm-hmm. Like, do you still ask your surgeon? You still doing surgery?
Right.
You know, you still a doctor, you know.
Right, but, please say yes.
You know, it's a call and a gift, whether you acknowledge it immediately or later. But I love talking to artists who are out there doing that thing, you know, because it's hard enough even nowadays for the celebrities to get some press. So God knows about people who are out here trying to do their thing, you know. And I love
it.
Well,
we need you. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and I love it.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you. And like I said, you know, you've been in those spots, so you know there's people out here that can blow for real, for real. You have musical talent in your family. Like, how did you get the bug?
You know, I think it's a lot of it is probably just, you know, genetic bloodline. My grandmother would tell me that her mother, so my great grandmother, sang opera.
Oh,
she wasn't
wow.
a famous opera singer, but she sang opera. And my grandmother would tell me all the time, oh, she sang at the World's Fair. And I would be like, really? The World's Fair?
Right.
And so I learned that. And my dad was a pastor. And he was also, he was a preacher, but he could sing.
Right.
Like, he probably wouldn't identify as a singer.
Right.
You know,
right.
God rest his soul. But he could just, he was one of those preachers that when he started singing, people would just fall out. Because
okay.
he just, you know, it was just powerful. And so my brother could sing. Some of my siblings have musical abilities. And
okay.
But I think it just, you know, my dad would be like, hey, get up here and sing this song. And I would be like, huh, okay. You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved music. I listened to a lot of BBFCC growing up, a lot of Yolanda Adams, a lot of the Winans. And I'm from Detroit, so it was just music all around me with Motown and the Winans and, you know, just all of it. So it just seeped in, I guess.
Right.
And yeah.
Is there any particular song from her catalog that you love the best? And I know that's hard, but just asking.
Woo! You tried it. You sure tried it. Wow. It's just so many. I think, you know, I have nothing really just gets me. But also, Didn't We Almost Have It All would have me just pull over on the road.
Okay.
Like, I just.
Okay.
You know, Didn't We Almost Have It All
yeah.
is one of my favorite ever songs.
Okay.
It just pulls every heartstring you have available. It's like, she pulls a few, and then you're like, okay, she's done. And then, nope, she got to pull a few more. Oh, she's done. Nope, she got to just take the whole heart. So, I mean, yeah, her whole Bodyguard album, too, is just goated. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I also love her XL, her Waiting to Exhale song.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah,
XL Shoop. I just posted that.
Oh, yeah, I love Shoop. Okay, so this is what I was going to say. You're like Whitney in the sense that did Whitney ever do Broadway? I don't know.
Call is now being recorded.
Okay.
No, I don't believe she did Broadway.
Okay. So, are you going to do acting? Would you want to be in a film? And I know you're releasing a project, but are you going to release a gospel album? What happened? What happened? They gotta call back.
Okay.
My question is, do you plan on doing film, and do you plan on doing a gospel album?
You know, I definitely plan on doing film and TV. I love acting. It's one of my first loves.
Okay.
And you know what? I'm not going to say no about a gospel album. I'm not recording gospel music at this moment.
Right.
But gospel those are my roots.
Right.
And I just, you know, never say never.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Right. Okay. Well, Raina, let the people know again where you're going to be at. And like I said, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to grow and prosper in your career, please allow Urban Buzz Magazine to be one of your media outlets.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, it's called Dear Whitney. It's my Whitney Houston tribute. We are giving the icon her flowers on her birthday, August 9th. At Joe's Pub in NYC. It's part of the Public Theater. It's downtown near NYU. And the show times are 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. And I can't wait to see you there.
And let them know your social media or your website.
Okay, so please follow me on all the socials. If you follow me on Instagram at Raina.White, Raina.White. And from there, if you go on my bio, there are links to my other socials. Please follow me and sign up on my email list if you'd like more updates about my upcoming performances.
That's right. And her tour dates.
And my tour dates.
That's right. All right, Raina White, yes. Thank you so much for allowing us to share this moment with you. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much, Nigeria. I'll be talking to you soon.
All right.